Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 16th chapter, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Suta Ubhacha. Yada Parikshit Kuru Jangale Avasat Kalim Pravishtam Nija Chakravartite Nishamya Vartam Anati Priyam Tata Sharasanam Sangyuga Shanti Adade. Suta Uvacha Yada Parikshit Kuru Jangale Vasat Kalim Pravishtam Nija Chakravartite Nishamya Vartam Manati Priyantata Sharasanam Sangyuga Shandiradade. Sutta Goswami said, Yada,
when
Kuga
Parikshit,
Maharaj Parikshit,
Now need to translate that to me. Kuru Jangale. In the capital of Kuru's empire.
In the capital of Kuru's empire.
Avasat.
Avasat.
Was residing.
Was residing.
Jivesh.
Kalim.
Kalim.
The symptoms of the age of Kali.
The symptoms of the age of Kali.
Pravishtam.
Pravishtam.
Entered.
Entered.
Navlazuka.
Nija Chakravartite.
Nija Chakravartite.
Within his jurisdiction.
Within his jurisdiction.
Vavodanyatam.
Nishamya.
Nishamya.
Thus hearing.
Thus hearing.
No
chavish.
Vartam.
Vartam.
News.
News.
Anati priyam.
Anati priyam.
Not very palatable.
Not very palatable. Nem no priyam.
Tata.
Tata.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Sharasanam.
Sharasanam.
Arrows and bow.
Arrows and bow.
Samyuga.
Samyuga.
Having gotten a chance for. Shandi.
Shandi.
Martial activities.
Martial activities.
Adade.
Adade.
Took up.
Took up.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities.
Sutta Goswami casa, Докато Махарадж Парикшит живееше в столицата на империя Дракула, от държавата му започнаха да се проявяват признаците на епохата на Кали. Когато научи това, той никак не се зарадва. Но то пък му даваше възможност да се сражава. Царят взелъка и стрелите си и се приготви за бойни действия.
Prabhupada, the state administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of this age of Kali? They are: one, illicit connection with women; two, indulgence in meat eating; three, intoxication; and four, taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above mentioned four symptoms of Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully. But he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of his state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of this age of Kali? They are: one, illicit connection with women; two, indulgence in meat eating; three, intoxication; and four, taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above mentioned four symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaj Parikshit heard that some of the people of the state had already taken to those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the regime of Maharaj Parikshit, such symptoms of public life were practically unknown. As soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaj Parikshit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states because everyone was peacefully under his subordination. But the Kali Yuga miscreants gave his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms of above mentioned are sure to infiltrate into social life, but it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali, and thus save the innocent set of symptoms who were pure in habit by culture or religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaj Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight.
Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam nina bhutale svayam rupakadam yadati svapadantikam.
So, the lazy and unfortunate men argue that the symptoms of the age of Kali are predestined. So why should we try to do anything about it? It's the way things are supposed to be, so just go with the flow. But Prabhupada gives counter argument that the rainy season comes. It is in India especially, there is a very profound, or you can say a very 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 dry.
a very marked rainy season. It's a very predominant amount of rain at that time. And everyone knows it's a rainy season. It's going to be very wet. But yet people carry an umbrella to protect themselves from the rain. They take all steps to prepare themselves for that rainy season. It's not because the rainy season is predestined that therefore they don't take any precaution against the rain. So the Kali Yuga is predestined. But that doesn't mean we don't make any counter arrangements. We take the appropriate steps to protect ourselves from the age of Kali. And to protect as many other people as we possibly can. And on the bright side, the Kali Yuga actually is a very special age. In fact, this age is worshipped by learned transcendentalists. Why is that? Because in this age it is very easy to become Krishna conscious. To become self-realized in this age is a very easy thing. You simply have to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Join the Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And quickly and easily you can achieve the perfection. It's very interesting to note in the purport how the administration of Maharaj Parikshit was so expertly being done that there was no agitation in the kingdom. He was simply sitting peacefully enjoying the palace life. But yet, then the disturbance came. Personality of Kali. So on the one hand, this was a very disturbing thing for Parikshit Maharaj. And Kali has entered his kingdom. But at the same time, it was a very enlivening thing. But now I get to fight. Kshatriya, they are trained fighters. They are very expert fighter. So when they get opportunity for fighting, it is a chance to utilize their fighting skill. So they become enlivened at that opportunity for fighting. And Prabhupada compares this to a sportsman who is eager when there is a chance for a sporting match. And there is another comparison we can make as well. A preacher becomes also enlivened when there is an attack. Because he has trained himself how to defend Krishna consciousness against all the attacks of the atheists and the impersonalists. So the preacher also becomes jubilant when there is an attack against the Vaishnava Siddhanta. On the one hand, it's disturbing if somebody is speaking some bogus philosophy. But on the other hand, is a great opportunity to fight on behalf of Srila
Prabhupada.
As we were describing last night, Digvijay Pandit, one who conquers in all directions. He travels from city to city, from town to town, and he makes Digvijay. But there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijaya prophecy. So this fighting spirit is there in the Vaishnava preacher also. Sometimes devotees ask me, they say, how can I get over fighting with the devotees? How can I get over this problem of fighting with the devotees? And the answer is very simple. Fight with the demons. Convince them to give up their nonsense. Fight against this demoniac mentality of Darwin's theory. Atheism, abortion, cow killing, meat eating, all cigarette smoking. Fight against all of the influence of Kali. Just as Parikshit is fighting against Kali.
Сражавай се срещу тези влияния на Кали, точно така както Махарадж Парикшит се сражава с Кали.
A preacher of this Krishna conscious mood must also fight against Kali.
Един проповедник на движението за Кришна съзнание също трябва да се сражава с Кали.
Where does that fight begin?
Кога започва тая борба?
Do you know where that fight began?
Знаете ли кога започва?
Do you know where that fight began? I'm seeing what her answer is. What does she say?
So she says that this struggle has become from our previous life and we continue in this life.
So where does the fight begin? Where should you begin this attack on the influence of Kali? Where?
She said that it begins when Maharaj Parikshit.
No, where should you begin your battle against the influence of Kali? That's my question. All right, interesting. Manaji knows the answer, but I'm trying to help everyone else come out, Manaji. I know you know, but let them realize. Yes.
Maybe when you realize that you are under this influence.
That's right. Battle begins right here. Kali is living in our hearts. So if you want to fight, you have a demon sitting in your heart right now. In fact, every morning when the alarm clock goes off, your fight begins. Kali is saying, my dear devotee, why don't you just sleep? Sweet sleep. Is it? So our fight begins when that alarm clock goes off in the morning. Therefore the spiritual master orders, you must rise by 4 a.m. Now let's see a show of hands. How many people were up this morning by 4 o'clock in the morning? How many were up by 4? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, everybody else was got up late, overslept. So Kali had his Kali had his influence today. Anybody who gets up after 4 a.m., they're under the influence of Kali. So we have to get up early, because then we can, that's how we begin conquering Kali. We rise by 4 a.m. and that way we can give Kali a punch in the face first thing in the morning. Otherwise, he's knocked us out and kept us in bed. Is it? Got to give Kali a good smash in the face every morning. And if you're very, very tired, you can always take a little extra rest later on, but that we should get up by 4 o'clock and have a nice Brahma Muhurta hour. Because we have to, the soldier has to be potent for fighting the age of Kali. If we sleep in the morning, sleep in, then we become weak and impotent in our ability to fight against the influence of Kali. The soldier has to be in good shape. Otherwise, when he faces the enemy, he will be defeated. So we must be in very good shape to fight that personality of Kali. So, does anyone have any questions? Yeah.
Значи ли това, че той съществува и предишните епохи, но просто е потискан, просто е някакси точната дума, не мога да ти я кажа, но като че ли държано под контрол, за да вземе връх, трябва значи, да е потискан. Разбрали?
In the commentary, yeah, it is said that meat-eating hazard and illicit sex, all this is ordinary thing in Kali. In Kali. But so he asks, does this mean that in the previous ages, these four things, illicit sex, meat-eating, were under control?
They were practically non-existent in the previous ages. Yeah, they weren't so much manifest. They were virtually non-existent.
Only the demons were doing it.
Hmm?
Only the demons were doing it, like Ravana.
Yeah, even now it's only the demons.
Some demons
are doing it. Just the number of demons has increased, that's all.
No, now the demons are just increasing.
But it was practically non-existent. I mean, there are cases. Look at Ajamil. He saw there was... He saw the Shudra couple having illicit sex in the forest and just bewildered his mind. And he became a woman hunter. It was there previously, but it was very, very minimal. Now it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. These Bulgarian billboards, some of them are so horrible. Especially the one for the flirt vodka. I mean, they're absolutely unbelievable. They show the most decadent prostitute to lure you to drink vodka. Such posters should be illegal. The government should not allow such illicit sort of posters to be there. But, I mean, everybody thinks that they're promoting vodka, that should be illegal. But even if they were using, even if they showed that prostitute for selling toothpaste, that should not be allowed.
Дори тая проститутка да показват за продаване на паста за зъби, пак не трябва да се позволя.
Questions more? Yeah.
This is a comment. In previous ages, it was not prevalent so much because they were one high class people.
Yeah, that's right.
Коментарът е, че в предните епохи имало повече квалифицирани личности и затова тия пороци не са били така разпространени. А в тая епоха почти няма такива.
So, any other questions? Everybody's got all their questions answered now. Okay.
Освен ставането рано сутрин, какви други оръжия трябва да използваме в битката срещу кани?
Except getting up early in the morning, what other methods you can recommend for the battle with kani?
Wearing tila?
The носим на тила.
Sorry, your t-shirt doesn't count. The Yamadutas want to see it on your forehead. Wearing a t-shirt will not save you the time of death. You have to put it on your forehead. There's so many devotees. How many devotees are wearing tilak here? Well, there's one without, one without. There's one, let's see, two, three, four, five, six. And how many you're not wearing to? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's more people not wearing it than there are wearing it. Is it? Kali is winning out today in his battle. Everybody, people not even putting on tilak. Do you realize if you don't wear tilak, you're not even dressed? It's like Naga Baba, naked?
Вие разбирате ли, че ако не носите тилак, дори не сте облечени, вие сте голи?
So don't come to before the deities nude.
Затова не идвайте голи пред божествата.
No tilak means you're nude, you're naked.
Без тилак значи, че сте голи.
Would you come to the temple room nude?
Ще дойдете ли голи в храмовата зала?
So where are your tilak?
Къде ли е тилак?
Next question. Yes.
Ставането рано сутрин, нещата не са толкова просто да станем. Нещата идват много, много далече. Значи, за да станем рано, трябва да си легнем рано. За да си легнем рано, трябва да имаме възможност това да стане. И по принцип, за да може да ставаме всяка сутрин рано, трябва много добре да организираме своята програма, но това не е възможно, защото ние живеем с други хора. И ако те не стават също рано или обратното, ако взаимно не сме организирани, това влияе много на всеки един. Какво трябва да правим?
So getting up early in the morning is not so simple because we live without the devotees and if they don't go early to bed, we cannot get up also. What should we do?
The lights have to go out by 10 o'clock at the latest. That has to be a policy in the ashram, and you were traveling also. There's a 10 o'clock curfew. Lights out and no talking by 10 p.m. the latest. Next question.
Наши познати за регулиращите принципи. Те казват, какво правите, защо живеете. Това означава, че ние трябва в максимална степен да се стремим да показваме наслаждението от Кришната знание, в смисъл с големи.
So when they tell their relatives about the four regulative principles and they say, what are you living for? The relatives. And the question is, should they show the enjoyment of Krishna consciousness to them?
The enjoyment?
So show
the what? Krishna consciousness?
Material opulence.
Should we show the material opulence that can be also in material in Krishna consciousness?
No.
No.
They actually... You have to, if you want to attract them, you have to show them this is the way to become free of all anxiety. You have to first of all convince them that they are suffering. Because people don't realize that they're suffering. They sit around and watch the television and think that they're happy by watching television. They're hypnotized by the media into thinking that they are actually happy. But factually speaking, people are miserable. So first thing you have to do is convince them that they're suffering. And once they're convinced that they're suffering, then you have to show them how they can actually enjoy it through Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna takes away all material opulence to help his devotees fully surrender to him. So you can't use material opulence as a carrot to dangle in front of their nose to attract them to Krishna consciousness.
И не е така, че трябва да им покажеш материално богатство, за да ги привлечеш към Кришна съзнание.
That's a materialistic motive. That's the same thing the Christians do.
Това е материалистичен мотив. Това е нещо, което правят християните.
Dear God, give us our daily bread.
Боже, дай ни нашият хляб на същото.
You have to convince them on the basis of the fact that this material world is a place of misery.
Трябва да ги убедиш на основата на това, че този материален свят е място на нещастие.
And that by taking the Krishna consciousness, they can escape this world of misery and go back to Godhead. They may have all opulence, they may become poverty stricken. That is not the point. The point is to never take birth again in this miserable place. That's the point. Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartinarjana Mamupechita Konteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who takes Tamaya above, this can be done later as something necessary right now. This shouldn't be done during the class, it's a distraction. It can be done later on. Better we focus on the class. One who attains Tamaya above, O son of Kunti, Punar Janmana Vidyate, he never takes birth again. Next question.
Виждам от живота на Прабхупада, че той е преназначено спрял построил много красиви и хубави храмове, за да привлече всъщност тези благословените си системи. И също така той отговаря на един въпрос на един журналист, който го пита защо живее в толкова разкошен апартамент. Той казва: аз мога да живея в колиба, но вие няма да дойдете. Ако живея в колиба, вие няма да дойдете при мен. Когато съм в такава атмосфера, вие идвате. Това е друг аспект. Може ли сам Кришна да кажа нещо повече?
From the life of Sri Prabhupada, we see that he has opened a lot of temples in order to attract people.
Wonderful
temples. Wonderful. So a journalist once asked Shri Prabhupada, why are you living in such an opulent apartment? And Shri Prabhupada said, if I lived in a hut, you wouldn't come. Mm-hmm. So if you should comment on this.
Yes. So, actually it was in Mayapur. The Prabhupada said that when he would build it, if it's just Bhaktivedanta Swami alone preaching, no one will come. If there's a big temple, then people will come. But then the devotees gave counter-argument. They said, Prabhupada, but you were all alone in that Tompkins Square Park. So actually, the Prabhupada was defeated by an argument. In a way that actually was not defeat, but it was glorifying him even more. So actually he was pleased by being defeated by his disciples' argument.
И той бил доволен да бъде атакуван от аргумент на своите
учители. Because it was done in love of worship of Prabhupada's great spiritual potency.
Защото този контраргумент бил направен като възхвала на силата на Шрила Прабхупада.
So the fact is that we should make a nice temple.
Факт е, че трябва да направим хубав храм.
We should have if we can make a beautiful marble palace.
Ако можем да направим хубав мраморен дворец.
The whole world will come to see.
В който да дойде целия свят.
Every ISKCON temple should be a very, very beautiful place, an architectural wonder.
Всеки един храм на ИСКОН трябва да бъде едно прекрасно място от архитектурна гледна точка.
That's a fact. The more you make beautiful temple, it will attract people to come. So we want to do that.
You
should think how to make our Soviet temple a grand success. Even now, so many things can be done to beautify it.
Може да се направят много неща, които да го разкрасят.
I think it's not even painted now. It's just plain concrete, isn't it? And then everything can be made much more beautiful and nice, you know, landscaping and nice grass and sidewalk and can be made very, very beautiful.
Може да се направи много красиво, с хубава трева, хубави тротуарчета, пътечки.
You should always try to make it more and more beautiful and attractive. That will help the devotees to become more enlivened in their Krishna consciousness. Just like our temple in Dallas. When we purchased it, it was a Christian church. And they used they converted what was a meeting room into the temple room.
И те превърнали тая зала за срещи в храмова зала.
It was an ordinary, ugly room.
Да беше една обикновена, мръсна стая.
And they completely they did an amazing thing. They made these beautiful Vedic pillars and they painted the ceiling like a sky with clouds.
И просто те удивително го промениха, направиха такива ведически колони, тавана.
They brought in beautiful artwork from a master painter in India.
Много хубава картина донесли от някакъв художник в Индия.
Krishna's pastimes.
На забавленията на Кришна.
This is all by Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he put beautiful parquet wood floor.
Тамал Кришна Госвами сложили паркет, хубав паркет на пода.
He had a stained glass dome over the deities.
Много хубави
And now, just like I have one lady who's taking my e-course. She was Christian. But somehow she came into the temple room and she saw the temple room. And she became a devotee of Krishna just by walking into the temple room. She was converted. And now she wants to be my disciple. Just by the temple room she was converted. It was so beautiful and so awe-inspiring. So a beautiful, clean temple is a very powerful preaching tool. The altar should be just, you know, everything should be just perfect and beautiful.
This
would be very inspiring and enlivening for the Vajari. If the whole temple thinks we want to put our energy into making the altar more beautiful and attractive. There's so many ISKCON temples now who made very beautiful like altars from India.
Има храмове в Искон сега, където правят много хубави алтари от Индия.
You've seen.
Вие сте виждали?
You've seen them, yes. So you could do all sorts of things could be done to make the temple more beautiful and wonderful and attractive.
Всякакви неща могат да направят, да се направят, за да стане храмът по-красив и по-отрепен.
Everyone will become very inspired.
Всеки ще е много вдъхновен.
Nobody will want to miss Mangal Arati anymore.
Никой няма да иска да пропусне Mangal Arati повече.
Everybody, now I think somebody is the Bajari only for Mangal Arati. Two or three devotees, maybe? Because I know when I go there, sometimes it's just myself, Mataji, and one or two other people in the Bajari. Sometimes just Mataji, myself, and just you and I only? In the Bajari, the three of us. Bajari and myself and Mataji were the only ones at Mangalore. Sometimes. So we understand the attendance is not very good. There's a beautiful, beautiful altar, and the whole temple is made into like Vaikuntha Dham. And people become running for Mangal Arati every day. Next question.
Лесно можем да станем пренебрежителни към хората, които са най-близки до нас. Как да се концентрираме, така че винаги да бъдем благословени? И по принцип.
For people that are most closer to us, it's very easy to ignore them. What to do? In order to always to have the attitude of service towards them.
Talking about karmis?
За карми ли говорите?
His brother,
his brother.
Oh, brother. You should always be in the mood of serving your brother and making him Krishna conscious, helping him. You are a senior to him in spiritual life, so you need to help him come up now, come up to a more advanced platform also. That is love. Never neglect him, always be merciful to him. By encouraging him by your example, by your attitude, and by your words. He's smiling as he's hearing this. So that means he approves of you doing, taking that role with him. Next question.
Ние споменахме за тилака. Мене е много интересно. Аз наскоро научих какво всъщност представлява, каква е символиката на тилака, че той представлява Рада и Кришна и Вриндава. Или може да ни каже нещо повече, защо правилно данните носят този тилак и каква е важността да се носи тилака?
So he understood that Tilak symbolizes Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. Can you say something more about Tilak and why devotees wear Tilak?
Tilak, sometimes people, they ask me when I'm walking around the material world, what is that on your forehead? And I tell them this is a victory sign. Actually, it is a V. It is a victory sign for one who has conquered over death. So, that is the best way to understand. That is more for preaching, that is the best way to understand. Don't go into so many esoteric things. Give them something that they can relate to from their platform. You tell them it's Radha, Krishna and Vrindavan, they don't know what you're talking about. But death, everyone knows what is death. And everybody wants to conquer over death. So you simply tell them this is the victory sign of someone who has conquered over death. And if you would like to conquer over death, then you take this Bhagavad Gita as it is and read it very carefully. Next question. So everyone's gotten all their questions answered today. Everyone's totally satisfied.
Всеки ли си зададе всичките въпроси, всички ли са удовлетворени?
Everyone's ready to meet Kali head on.
Всеки ли е готов да се срещне с Кали?
Не, въпросът е, че не сме си задали в никакъв случай всичките въпроси. Но умът ни е такъв, че той от време на време така някой по-интелигентен въпрос изважда и ние го поднасяме, а иначе не можем всяка секунда просто.
We haven't asked all our questions, but our mind is like this, that from time to time it gives very intelligent questions.
Не вери, не вери.
Give some intelligent question and they ask.
What is the one?
He says that not all the questions are asked, but they have asked the intelligent ones.
Oh, all the intelligent questions have been asked already.
Интелигентни въпроси са зададени, така ли?
No! Because най-интелигентният въпрос е какво сме ние, ние го знаем.
The most intelligent question is what we are, but we know what we are.
Други
What are you?
Какво си ти?
Гопи, Барто, Падакама, Гор, Даса, Даса, Даса.
Yes, so now you have to make that a practical reality.
Maybe, maybe.
So now you make that a practical reality by delivering the fallen souls of this country of Bulgaria. You see, you're not only a servant of the devotees, but you're the servant of all the Bulgarian people also. Lord Chaitanya has given you this service. Jari deka tarikaha krishna upadesha mara gaya guru huritaya desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. On this way, on my order, you become guru. And deliver the people of this country of Bulgaria. He's given you Bulgaria as your place. For what purpose? For sense enjoyment? No, he wants you to make a revolution in this country. To make these Bulgarian people Krishna conscious. So therefore you should minimize your sense gratification. Thinking that these people are going to hell, I have to save them.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else that we can stop. Oh, yes, okay.
Prabhupada came to America,
he was offered that he should wear the karmic clothes and all those things, that he would be able to influence Buddha, but Prabhupada said no.
Yes. So what would you say of that?
The question is that does one have to adopt the dress style of the non-devotee in order to appeal to the non-devotee for preaching to them? Of course, actually for book distribution, Prabhupada told us that we could either dress as a devotee or as a Westerner. But my personal preaching, I find that it's much more conducive to dress as a
Vaishnava.
Srila Prabhupada dressed as a Vaishnava all the time. He never adopted Western dress for the sake of preaching. So I am a follower in the footsteps of Prabhupada. I find that that's works very well for me also, although he said you could dress as a Westerner. But he also said that even if one is wearing coat and tie, then the tilak and sika must be there. And the tikas, neck beads, tilak and sikha should be there.
И ако човек носи вайшнава дарехи, трябва да има шика, кандибала и тилак.
Не, не, официално.
Ако не носи официално.
Ако не носи вайшнава дарехи.
Ако не носи вайшнава дарехи, трябва да има шика, тилак и кандибала.
So, he also wanted us to be clean shaven as well. When Prabhupada first went to India, one of his disciples, I think his name was, I forget his name, but he was very attached to his long beard. And Prabhupada was trying to tell him in such a way that he wouldn't be offended. I mean, Prabhupada was very sensitive. It's not that I'm the guru, I can just give an order. He wasn't thinking that. He was thinking that my disciple, he may become very disturbed if I just order him to shave off his beard. And he may leave. If I tell him to shave off his beard, he may just become so disturbed he will leave.
Шрила Прабхупада попитал да му каже да си обръсне брадата по такъв начин, че да не го притесни, защото си помисли, че аз му кажа така директно като някакъв тежък гуру, и сега си обръсни брада, той може да напусне. Да напусне изкон.
So, Prabhupada found some picture of a Goswami or some great devotee who had who was cleanly shaven. And he showed that to his disciple and was saying how nice this picture was. So in this way, the disciple, without directly telling the disciple and hurting his feelings, Prabhupada, in a very kind and you know, very soft-hearted, generous way, was telling the disciple without hurting his feelings. He was also keeping long hair as well, so it was pretty, it didn't look so good to have a long-haired, bearded hippie disciple. So Prabhupada is very sensitive and, you know, not to hurt his disciples' feelings. That he would then go away, you know, become angry and go away. But this actually, this is our, Prabhupada said, this is our program, is clean shaven.
And I also know that Tumak Krishna Maharaj, when he went to Sri Sadhana Maharaj, he went to Southern Methodist University. They were asking him to go put on the karmic clothes, and he just remained on his sannyas clothes, and he went in.
Who asked him to go? Yes.
I think the professors, they told him that he cannot come in the robe, but he remained with the
Yeah, just like Tamar Krishna Goswami, he took some degree at Southern Methodist University. And he maintained his sannyas robe and shaved head and everything while he was going to the university. Later. Yeah, he became very, actually he won the top honors at the school of being the best student in the whole university. So, any other questions? Yes.
My question is related to the next question. Дали това зависи от, примерно, духовния учител, който аз искам да приема, той държи ние да не проповядваме с вайшнава дрехи, примерно. Или той дава сам пример, като излиза на улицата, той излиза с карми дрехи, не с вайшнава.
Зависи от твоя духовния учител.
Да, това ми е първият въпрос. И след това, как да не изглежда?
Чакай. So, does it depend from our spiritual master? What instruction does he give us? Whether to go out with karmi clothes or vaishnava clothes?
Yes. Whatever, if your spiritual master has analyzed that it is better for you to go preaching in karmi clothes, then you follow his instructions.
That's what you told him, which you think is
such a strange thing. Как да не изглеждаме странно, но това е много много трудно да се определи, защото ако ние проповядваме на млади хора, естествено, че те биха ни приели по един начин с тези дрехи. А ако проповядваме на други хора, те биха ни, бихме изглеждали странни. И това и между предно дадените също има различни мнения за това какво е странно и какво не е странно. И аз винаги съм много объркан как точно трябва да изглежда.
Ако излизаш, виж много приходка.
И затова...
Не, си странен, като излизаш, виж много приходка.
Да, и затова те не ми позволяват, не се позволяват. Аз
виждам. Some devotees say that going out on book distribution with Vaishnava cloth may look somehow strange to some people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know what? Depends on what you feel. That's my practical experience. If you feel that you look strange dressed as a Vaishnava,
ако чувстваш, че изглеждаш странно облечен като Вайшнава,
then they will think that you look strange.
И другите ще мислят, че изглеждаш странно.
But if you think that you do not look strange dressed as a Vaishnava,
ако мислиш, че не изглеждаш странно облечен като Вайшнава,
they will not think that you look strange.
Те няма да си мислят, че ти изглеждаш странно.
That's my practical realization.
Това е моята практическа реализация.
Depends on your attitude.
Зависи от твоето отношение.
И при мен се получава, че аз искам да ходя само с Вайшнава дрехи, обаче другите казват, че е прекалено странно. Прекалено странно изглеждам и не ми позволява. Поради една или друга причина, което е друго.
The problem is that he wants to go with Vaishnava clothes. He feels good, but others say it's strange and do not let.
If your temple authority is telling you not to do, then you must follow the temple authority.
Ако авторитетът ти казва, че не трябва да правиш, трябва да следваш.
That's our system in ISKCON. We follow our temple authority and our Guru Maharaj. Whatever instruction, if they tell us to go and like that, then you go like that. But you're talking about Vaishnava dress. You've come today for this program with no tilak. You're so enthusiastic about Vaishnava dress, why you're not wearing tilak? This is hypocrisy. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
If we stay in ISKCON for our whole life, but with material desires, can we go back to Krishna?
Oh, you can take breath in ISKCON again. You have still material desires. So you have to give up all material desires, even the small ones. Of course, if you're struggling very hard to get rid of all material desires, then Krishna may give you some special mercy. But if you're thinking it's okay to have material desires as long as I stay active in ISKCON, then you probably have to take breath again. One must strive very diligently to free oneself of all material desires. That should be a lifetime project.
Така че човек много прилежно трябва да се опита да се отърве от всичките си материални желания. Това трябва да е проектът на живота му.
That I must become free from all material desires.
Трябва да се освободя от всичките си материални желания.
Even the subtle ones.
И от най-фините.
We must work very diligently, day in and day out, for that goal.
Много прилежно трябва да работиш за това, ден след ден.
At every minute I must be thinking, I must conquer all the material desires in my heart.
Във всяка минута трябва да си мисля, трябва да победя всички материални желания в моето сърце.
It's actually an enlivening fight.
Но всъщност е оживителна битка, която се живява.
Just like Maharaj Parikshit was jubilant to fight the personality of Kali.
Точно както Махарадж Парикшит тържествува да се бори с личността на Кали.
So the personality of Kali has invaded your heart, you know that?
Знаеш ли, че личността на Кали е влязла в сърцето ти?
Now you have to become jubilant to fight against the personality of Kali who has invaded your heart.
Сега ти трябва да тържествуваш, да се бориш тази личност, макар и в твоето сърце.
It's very enlivening to fight the personality of Kali if you're in the mood of a Vaishnava preacher. It's stimulating and enthusing. I'm
going
to get that rascal. I'm
going to
smash him. So, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Ramdharab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sankarsana Prabhu ki jai.